You're listening to KPSQ LP Fayetteville. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily the opinions of this station. Please check with a trusted health advisor before following any medical advice.
Welcome to the Wendy Loved Show with Topher Kogan, live from the third floor of the Chancellor Hotel on the historic Fayetteville Square. I'm Wendy Loved, and on tonight's show, our musical guest is Rochelle Bradshaw, and our health guest is William Hall from Goodwill Massage. Welcome to the show. Hey, Topher, how are you tonight?
I'm good, Wendy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. So my first question for you tonight is a follow-up from last week. How is your injury? You injured your pinky, I think.
Yes, okay. So it is now back to normal. For those at home, so I couldn't. So take your hand and, like, bend your pinky all the way down to where the tip is, like, touching the palm.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't do that. It would, like, stop about, like, halfway.
Okay, yeah.
So now, look at that. I can touch the palm.
You have full range of motion.
Yes.
And so did you take the advice? Did you get some arnica and rub it with arnica? Or
no, I immediately forgot arnica existed. But I did the tried and true method. I just slept. Massaged it, stretched it.
Okay.
And then it was great.
Right. Well, you know, in tonight's show, we're going to talk a little bit about massage. So
we'll learn
maybe why that worked. I don't know. We'll find out.
Ooh, yes.
So what else is going on? Have you been to the gym in the last week?
Now, Wendy. I have not. I don't know what it's been. I have not been.
You have not been to the gym? Not at all in an entire week?
I don't think since the last show, I don't think I've been.
Oh my goodness. I really don't think so. So what have you been doing with your time?
I've just been so busy. So, you know, I have like a million jobs. And so.
Doesn't everyone these days?
Exactly.
Right?
Like how anybody that, you know, is like out here hustling goes to the gym, I do not know. But, so yeah, I just haven't been able to go. I think I'm going to get to go tonight, maybe, like after the show.
Oh, right. Cool. So well, it's nice that a lot of these gyms are open 24 hours now, mm-hmm. So you can kind of fit it in between jobs or between activities that you're doing.
Yes.
I myself had been traveling a little bit, and so I was out walking in the mm-hmm. sunshine, so I got the double effect of the sunshine elevates your mood and makes you feel better,
mm-hmm.
and then just, you know, walking around. Last weekend I was in Nashville, and what a great city. I actually had never been to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. What were you there for again?
Well, this was actually a pleasure trip. We went to see Nine Inch Nails, mm-hmm. which was an incredible show, and so I laughed to myself because, you know, in the 90s, I had my first son in 1990, and I missed a bunch of music. I was listening to Raffi and, you know, all the children's music, and somehow I missed all this great music. And, you know, there are people who kind of say to me, I can't believe you would even like Nine Inch Nails, but I actually really enjoyed the show. What incredible musicians. And the place was packed.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wife is, you know, she just turned 40, and she was joking the whole time. This place is filled with, like, it's a 40-year-old convention to see Nine Inch Nails of people in black, you know, mm-hmm. going to the show. But yeah, it was fun, and the city was a lot of fun. You know, I'd be happier if there was legal medical cannabis there, of course,
mm-hmm.
but there was definitely a lot of drinking, and it's really interesting, isn't it, how drinking is acceptable
to people,
you know.
But today, so I want to know if any of the listeners, if you call in or visit any of our, like, social media pages, let mm-hmm. us know, or or let me know. I want to know how many other people are going through, like, are trying the Sober October Challenge.
Wait, you were just telling me about that, so I don't know anything about it. I'm really not much of a drinker. I'm not into alcohol.
Yeah.
So I had no idea that people choose sobriety for the month of October. Sober October.
Yeah, but it's not just alcohol. I mean, like, it can be any, like, recreational thing that you are kind of, like, feel is a vice almost, too.
Sure, anything you're imbibing in that maybe is getting to be a little too much, your body needs a break from it.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful thing. So, yeah, I'd love to know who else might be participating in that. And so is that something you're participating in? Or?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Well, good for you. I'm happy to hear that.
We'll see. We'll see what happens.
So, have you been to any movies? I know you're been giving the movie report every week here,
yes.
And so I look to you for advice on what movies to see.
Yes.
So, what did you see this week?
So, I saw a movie. It was called My Hero Academia.
My
True Hero.
Hero Academia.
Yes.
Okay.
It's an anime show,
okay.
And this was the first movie that they released into theaters, and it was limited release. It started on September 25th, I think.
Okay.
And it just ended yesterday.
Oh, all right. And so, did you enjoy it? Was it is it
yes,
something you would recommend to people?
I
mean, not everyone is into anime. So,
yeah, exactly. I would say just watch the show.
Like, okay.
Don't worry about the movie. Just watch the show. Because the movie was more of like a highlight of characters that you already know.
Okay.
So it's kind of like.
It's a show that's on YouTube or on TV?
Oh, no.
On TV?
Yeah, on TV.
Okay.
And so, yeah, if you don't know the show, then you won't really get the movie. Like, you'll be like,
man.
Oh, who are these people?
Right.
Yeah.
So they have to have a large enough audience for their show to release this film, right?
Yeah. But I want to say every night, I think there were 5 nights it showed, and there were about 2 to 3 screens that they showed it on here in Fayetteville, and it was almost sold out in every screen every night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so while you're at these movies, what kind of snacks are you eating, by the way?
I actually don't eat at the movies.
You don't eat at all?
I do not eat at the movies.
Well, I think that's probably
a good
thing.
Because it's dangerous. Because
it's dangerous.
Yeah, well, because think about it. So whenever I plan whenever I plan meals in the moment, I always plan too much.
Okay.
Like, I'm like, oh, I gotta get this. Ooh, but I have a taste for something sweet, something salty. Oh, now I need a pop to go with it. Now I need all these, like, other things.
Uh-huh.
And so I have this, like, big, huge, like, lap of food. And then it's almost like a race, you know.
You've got to eat all that.
For an hour and a half.
Before the film is over.
Yeah, because, like, who takes home movie food for leftovers? I don't know anybody that does that.
Who takes home movie food? And who eats that much normally in an hour and a half?
Like, I don't know. And see, and that's why it's only in a movie theater can that dangerous equation play out.
Right.
So, yeah, I just don't do it.
I have noticed they have a few more healthy snacks, healthy selections.
Like what? I don't know.
I've seen, like, some granola bars. I mean, I didn't read all the ingredients. But they have those, and they have, what else? Maybe, like, pretzels. I guess those, it's not great food.
Yeah.
But at least there are a few options that are a little bit better than.
Yeah, they're like butter-laced popcorn. And
is that butter? We don't know, do we?
I don't know. It tastes amazing.
But when you go to the movie, I like to have popcorn. I think it's like conditioning from when I was a child. Like, go to the movies, get popcorn, you know. So when I'm sitting watching the film, if I don't have popcorn, I feel like, you know, kind of a fish out of water. But I've been trying to change that in my head because, well, first of all, you know, there were some tests done of that popcorn, you know.
Yeah.
What is in there as people are reaching in?
And microwave popcorn.
It wasn't
popcorn.
Very favorable, really.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, for sure. If we could bring popcorn into the theater, we could make it at home on the stove and then know what's in it. But, you know, of course, that's not allowed. And the snacks are so expensive. It's crazy.
Yeah. It's like a hot dog is like...
I can't
almost
even believe,
like,
they have hot dogs now. They're so smelly. Like, you're in the theater to watch a film, and you've got to smell all this food.
Yeah.
But so I think it's probably a wise choice that you're not eating in the theater. So, Topher.
Yes.
Friday night, you are going to be roasted at Stage 18.
I am. And you, Wendy Love Edge, are going to be one of the judges of that.
I am. I know. It's kind of funny that we both ended up... in this, but I'm not judging your performance, so I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I just get to watch everybody roast you and decide who does the best job. So it should be lots of fun. I'm hoping, usually this event, the NWA roast.
So the group is Comedians in WA, mm-hmm. and then it's the Roast Battle League is what's going to be.
Roast Battle League, that's mm-hmm. right. I remembered RBL, but I couldn't remember what it stood for. Roast Battle League, mm-hmm. Friday night at Stage 18. So please come to the show. It usually sells out, but mm-hmm. I hope that I'm sure we'll have a great crowd and it'll be lots of fun to judge. I told you, I think I'm going to try to play the role of angry lesbian. I think mm-hmm. that'll be funny.
We'll see. I'm excited to see this unveil because again, I have not seen Angry Wendy.
No, most people never see Angry Wendy, so I don't know if I can pull it off. We'll see. But either way, it's going to be lots of fun, and I'm excited about it. And now, I think maybe it's time
for our favorite section.
Our favorite segment, Cannabis Corner.
Woke up this morning, take a look at my clock. It's way past noontime, now I'm late for work. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Ain't nothing going right with me. Must be I've been smoking too long.
And that was Smokin' by Robin Frederick, performed by Meredith Sisko.
I love that song.
I love that song.
Like, do you know what it reminds me of? Every time I hear it, do you know what movie I think about?
I do not.
I think of Toy Story. I don't know
really?
Why. Yes. I don't know why. But I think it's a Toy Story. I don't know why.
Are they lighting up on Toy Story now?
I hope not. Because the plastic.
These are children
milk.
We're talking about, Topher.
Oh, no. No, I'm not worried about the kids. I'm worried about the toys because they're made of plastic and they'll melt.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's true.
And they can't do that.
Oh, my goodness. So tonight on Cannabis Corner, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. So I have been reaching out to the Board of Health in Fayetteville, to some mm-hmm. of the members. I've made phone calls last month and didn't receive any calls back. And then finally, yesterday, I actually spoke to two physicians who are on the board mm-hmm. because I've written a protocol along with some other activists for grow riots in Fayetteville. Because nice. As we've talked about, patients in Arkansas have paid $200 or more to see the physician. They paid $50 to the state, and there's no medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's criminal. And we have patients, you know, like me, I have autoimmune diseases, and I really benefit from the medicine. But I'm really more concerned with, you know, cancer patients and seizure patients who are so excited to have the medicine available, and it's not available.
Yeah.
So this protocol really is just so that patients who have already paid these fees and seen the doctor can grow plants for their own medicine.
Okay.
And so, I don't know. I mean, many people have told me, you know, we won't get anywhere. But I'm not willing to give up.
And, yeah, exactly. It's like, not with that attitude, we won't.
I know, right?
Yeah.
You have to, I mean, with activism, you know, you hit a lot of walls along the way, but you mm-hmm. have to be willing to keep going. And, you know, at some point, of course, we might say, well, it's just not going to happen. Unfortunately, what passed here in Arkansas did not include grow rights, but mm-hmm. grow rights are human rights. We should be able to grow these plants, especially patients
yeah.
who a doctor already wrote a recommendation for the medicine. So I'm very hopeful, and any activists out there who want to join with me in this effort, I would be really honored and excited to have you along. These two physicians read the protocol and are willing to present it at the next Board of Health meeting, which I don't have the date and time for yet, but I'll let everyone know.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to also go and speak with Mayor Jordan about it. And, you know, I'm hopeful that at least if we can be compassionate to patients, we're not talking about a huge number of people, actually.
Yeah.
You know, we drilled it down in our activism group, and if we're just talking about Fayetteville, we're talking about, like, less than 200 people.
Yeah.
And of those people, many of them live in apartments where they couldn't grow or they're too sick to grow. So we're really talking about a small group of people to yeah. just let them grow their medicine.
Now, I have a question. So I'm not, I don't have a agricultural thumb.
Uh-huh. A green thumb.
Yeah. So I guess what is the method of growing? I guess would it be in the house? Would it be outside? Would they have to build something?
Well, it depends on the state that you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, I am from Boston. In Massachusetts, you have to grow indoors. I think that is really shameful, actually. Really, the sun is right there, and instead we're wasting all this electricity growing indoors. So you can grow. I've grown before just in the dirt, in a pot. Actually, I did put it outside. Shame on me. But it
Wendy,
grew.
How could you?
I know. My goodness. Or you can grow indoors. You can grow with water hydroponically, you know. And and if this were to pass, we certainly could provide some education to help people. You know, just like in Oklahoma, the law passed and people are going to be able to grow. And so they're doing a lot of education for people. And we could certainly provide that here. I know plenty of master growers that could help people. And there's shops in town, too. I was just in a hydroponic shop today here in Fayetteville.
And what does hydroponic mean?
It's grown in the water, so okay. I don't know all the ins and outs of it. I'd never grown that way.
I'll Google it.
Google it. That's how you learn everything. Right?
What do you
nowadays?
What do you think about this? Okay, so what do you? So you could. So people that want to grow, you know, cannabis and whatnot, they can. What do you think about pairing with like the botanical gardens, because they already have like,
wouldn't that be fantastic?
Yeah, and they just have like a kind of thing. And if a shop like business is up with them, then you could kind of like generate revenue for both the shop and that, because like, because some cannabis plants are very beautiful, I think, like
oh,
the colors and the blood.
Sure.
Yeah,
I mean, certainly if I don't see that happening here in Fayetteville, but I could see, I'm envisioning just letting these patients, showing some compassion and letting them grow their medicine. Mm-hmm. And written in the protocol, it also includes growing for one other patient who may not be able to grow for themselves. Mm-hmm. So, and that's it, you know. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, you know, it's great that we have lots of CBD shops available here for now.
Mm-hmm.
And you brought in
this lovely sucker.
I did. I brought some CBD lollipops that I picked up today at a shop over on Weddington, and what a great shop that is. And they have they even have CBD dabs available for people, which dabbing is great for quick pain relief, quick relief of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stop in the shop and you know, check that out. So I mean, CBD is extracted from industrial hemp. It can be extracted from a cannabis plant as well, but of course we want zero THC. You know, the laws are different in each state. It is legal in all 50 states, but they have adapted it in some states with, you know, letting people know what percentage of THC. I think in many states it's really 0 or 0.3%. So it's, if it's extracted from industrial hemp, there won't be THC in it, so you don't get the head effect. But it has a lot of medical benefits, and people can certainly look that up and learn more about it. So it's kind of exciting that we at least have that, but it's really not enough for most patients who are treating medical conditions.
Yeah.
And so we're hopeful that things are going to change, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, I think that's about it for Cannabis Corner.
All righty.
Woke up this morning, take a look at my clock. It's way past noontime, now I'm late for work. Tell me, what have I done wrong? Ain't nothing going right with me. Must be I've been smoking too long.
This is Zach Tennant.
And this is Cody Nielsen from Moonsong.
You're listening to KPSQ 97.3 FM Community Radio.
On the historic Fayetteville Square.
Our next guest, after 17 years of world tours with reggae legends, vocalist Rochelle Bradshaw founded the band Rochelle Bradshaw and the Hypnotic. and the Hip Notions. We are thrilled to have her as our musical guest tonight. Rochelle Bradshaw, thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you. And that was Rochelle Bradshaw and Hip Notion.
Yes, Rochelle Bradshaw and Hip Notion. I'm so delighted to have you here tonight. The last time I saw you, I think, was at a cannabis event that we had.
Yes.
it was over a year ago, I think. And you've been traveling and touring.
Yeah. I guess I've been all over the country this summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I did 62 shows.
62 shows? Oh, my gosh. Wow. <Yes. laughs> Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And what was your favorite place to perform, do you think?
Well, I'd say I have two favorites this year. The Gorge in Washington, which is just... Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I'm like, I don't even know my words. I'm losing my words now.
That's okay.
It was fantastic. It's the most beautiful place.
Nice.
And of course, Red Rocks in Colorado. We do two nights there.
Uh-huh.
It's just so beautiful. Like, I mean,
cool.
Nothing Great. Needs to happen. You just go to the park, and it's just
oh,
it's
wow.
an amazing place to be.
So you were performing outside?
Nice. These two venues are outdoor venues, but uh-huh. they're. In their most natural state, you know.
Beautiful.
They build into the rocks, and it's just spectacular.
Wow.
Yeah.
I bet when you're performing, looking out at that is just amazing and uplifting.
It's crazy. It's awesome.
So you perform reggae music.
Yeah.
Mostly, right?
Mostly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Any other genres that come in?
I mean, I sing music.
Uh-huh.
You know, whatever it is.
Right. You're a beautiful vocalist.
Thank you.
And so you brought us some music to play tonight, and what is going to be the first song that we're going to play?
So I think, and this is from my project here, Rochelle Bradshaw and Hip Notion, we'll do Soon As I Rise. I think that should be track one.
Okay, cool. Soon As I Rise.
Yes.
And was that recorded here in Fayetteville?
Some of it. Some was recorded in Jamaica, in Kingston,
at
Tough Song Studios. Mm-hmm. And then it was mixed in Miami.
Okay. Well, you're all over the place. Nice. Well, let's give it a listen.
Cool. Here we go.
Pushing through darkness's light, like the breath of a newborn ending up a storm, I'm engulfed in his delight. I rise.
Oh, I love that. Thank you, Rochelle.
Thank you, Andy.
So let's talk a little bit about cannabis since we just did our Cannabis Corner segment.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts about cannabis as medicine?
It's great. I mean, my thoughts are just saying what is obvious. It works. It has medicinal mm-hmm. properties, you know, and it being kept from the masses, it's like in the dark ages or something,
right.
You know.
It's criminal, really, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, people have been using cannabis forever.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not some new thing that just popped up. Like, it's right. been there. For, mm-hmm. As I heard, it was on Solomon's grave.
Right. It's, yeah.
You know? So.
Mm-hmm. And you have a medical condition, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, I do have seizures. I have epilepsy. Mm-hmm. I've had it since I was 11 years old or so.
Wow. Yeah. And so were you on Big Pharma medicines?
Well, first of all, let's take this back. I was born in Jamaica and raised in Jamaica,
uh-huh.
in the country.
Okay.
So when I just started falling on and, you know, foaming and all this, I was thought to be possessed, number one.
Oh, wow, right.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. A lot of church meetings and prayer meetings to get the demon out of me.
Oh, my goodness.
But then, yes. Then it was discovered that I had epilepsy. So they basically tried everything on me, mm-hmm. and it was horrible. And imagine this, you know, just as I was hitting puberty and everything, and they just, like, filled me up with everything. So I was really dazed and confused.
Oh, my goodness.
Years.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so at some point you decided to try coming off of those medications and using cannabis and CBD.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. In my early 20s, like, I mean, I knew before that I didn't want to live like that, like, mm-hmm. you know, just like,
right.
I felt horrible.
Oh, yeah. I was you know? Overloaded with Big Pharma products
right.
and completely in a fog. I didn't even know how crazy I was until later when people told me, you know, things I said
right.
and I'd fall asleep places. You know, it's awful. It's no way
it's
to live.
Horrible, yeah. I mean, I was so quiet. People didn't even know I was around.
Wow.
Like, mm-hmm. You know,
and so were you singing at that time? Or?
Oh yeah, I've like epilepsy. I've been singing since I was around that time too.
Uh-huh.
I kind of grew up in a musical family, so
nice.
It was just something everyone did. And cannabis was used freely around us. I mean, so it wasn't like a you know,
right? It wasn't.
But we weren't allowed to even go there. You know.
Oh. I mean, in your family, you
in
mean?
My family, yeah. It was most of the men that smoked. Women
oh,
didn't really
right.
smoke, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But after just growing and learning more about cannabis and realizing it was much more than just getting high,
mm-hmm.
I decided to try and medicate myself, like
sure.
really, because you know it wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was happening, so I just went cold turkey, which is probably not the best thing, but.
Yeah, sometimes
so
we take...
So far, so good.
That was a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
You're sitting here singing this beautiful music and
yeah,
talking with us.
And I had a great mentor at the time. She was an older lady, singer also, Sabrina Williams, and very educated and really into health and fitness. And she kind of just took me under her wings and, you know,
mm-hmm.
just taught me how to eat better and...
Right.
And just be better and live better and
right.
feel better.
Be good to your body.
Exactly.
Exercise,
so I use that. Yes.
And rest.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I talk about that a lot because it's not just the cannabis or CBD.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
no.
lifestyle,
yes.
positive lifestyle changes.
So was there any, I guess, pushback from, I guess, like anyone in your circle, whether, you know, family or friends or anything, when you decided to go cold turkey off of pharmaceuticals at all?
Initially, no, because no one knew. Because they said I was very quiet. I didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything?
No, I don't tell people. I just do.
Uh-huh.
So I didn't say anything.
Uh-huh.
I didn't say a word. I just... and at that point, I had left home and I was living on the North Coast in Ocho Reyes, you know, singing in the hotel. So I was living on
mm-hmm.
my own.
Mm-hmm. And making
By
your
the time
own
I
choices.
Was 19, I left mm-hmm. home and I had my own place. I
wow.
was singing in a hotel. So
I knew you were a strong woman.
I try.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't say anything. I just kind of feel it out. And I call her Auntie Sabi, Sabrina. I kind of just had her. She's the only one that I really spoke to about it. Uh-huh. And, after it worked, I was okay. I was like, hey,
then everybody's
what?
Like, oh,
I don't take those meds anymore. They're like, what? But I mean,
they didn't have anything they could say because they could see that you were healthier.
Yeah.
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 So what song are we going to hear next?
So we should do, number two is No Monkeys, which is just saying, no fooling around.
Okay.
No monkeys in the tree.
All right.
Nice. Let's hear it. No monkeys.
Breathing in the dark, I see the light. Drawn towards the core, I feel delight. Something's pulling me back. Something's pulling me back. Something's pulling me back. But I won't yield to the dark of the night. I will answer the call to fight. You can't hold me back. You can't hold me back. You're trying to pull me back. You can't hold me, hey, 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 hey. No, no. Said I can see the writings on your wall. Your lies and propaganda won't make you tall. Na 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 na. Trying to pull me back, trying to hold me back, trying to pull me back. Until the dark of the night, I will answer the call to fight. You can't hold me back, you can't hold me back. You're trying to pull me back, but you can't hold me back.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being here, Rochelle.
Thank you so much for having me.
So where can people find your music?
iTunes, Spotify, Amazon.
Okay, great. And it's Rochelle Bradshaw and Hypnotion.
And Hypnotion.
Check it out. You are listening to The Wendy Love Edge Show with Topher Kogan on 97.3 FM, kpsq.org, live from the third floor of the Chancellor Hotel. Our health guest tonight is William Hall, master massage therapist, body worker, and owner of Goodwill Massage. Welcome to the show, Will.
Thanks, Wendy. I really appreciate you having me on air.
Oh, it's my pleasure. So, Will, I met you actually several years ago. You're one of the
first. It's been like 5 years, right?
Yeah, it's been, I think, probably that long.
About that.
Yeah, and you were one of the first people who joined our Bulldozer Health Network, and thank you for that.
You bet. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate your confidence.
So I wanted to ask you tonight a little bit about medical massage and the health benefits of massage, because I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm really stressed, I'm just going to go get a massage, and it's sort of a leisure thing, but it really is a medical treatment, isn't it?
The way that I do it and the people that work with me do it, yes, for sure. I specialize in combining medical massage techniques with energetic modalities, so the work that I do is mostly it's treatment-based. Mm-hmm. And so my clients find me because they have specific issues that they need worked out, and then they stay with me because they recognize intrinsic benefits in my style and my work.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So when you say you incorporate energetic modalities, what do you mean by that?
The approach is a holistic one in that we experience life on multiple different levels, well, spiritually, mm-hmm. bodily, emotionally, mentally. All of those things make up our body. It's not mm-hmm. just the physical form. And so energetics focus attention on those maybe more subtle ways in which we experience life. Does that make sense?
I think so, right.
So if you've got... an easy way to explain it is this. If you are faced with a saber-toothed tiger, mm-hmm. you're under a lot of stress. And the body's reaction to your mental stress is to raise your shoulders.
Oh, right.
Right?
It's true. Right.
So this is the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. I'm in danger, so I'm going to raise my shoulders up and hold my arms up. Right. And the psychosomatic effect of that is if you're in danger a lot or perceived danger a mm-hmm. lot, then your shoulders will stay up. So right. if you're going to treat shoulders raised, you need to mm-hmm. not only treat the traps, right, which raise the shoulders, but right. you also need to be able to focus on people's mental state.
Okay,
and in that
sure.
way, I might work the traps physically, but then use an energetic modality like Reiki or cranial sacral therapy to address mm-hmm. the more mental aspects of that kind of thing.
Well, excellent. I didn't know that you did cranial sacral therapy.
I
should have known that.
I do.
So I saw a cranial sacral therapist, I think it was through the mid-90s. Uh-huh. And I made so much advancement. I didn't even know like a lot of these emotional things that kind of get trapped in your body, and you're not aware that they're causing all these imbalances, you know?
Yeah.
So the treatments were sometimes very taxing emotionally, mm-hmm. but on the other side, it was so much better.
So I love that work. For me, that modality specifically really skirts the line between intention and action. Mm-hmm. And the range of effect is from just extremely relaxing to profound breakthroughs.
Wow. Yeah.
So what does that look like? Like, for the people at home and also for me.
Cranial sacral?
Cranial sacral. So what would it look like if I went in to go get my sacrum cranial?
Man, you would probably barely even know I was doing it. The touch is so gentle with cranial sacral. It's literally you're supposed to use 5 grams of pressure. And what it does is augments the flow of cerebral spinal fluid around the body, which is a super fancy way of saying the fluid that encapsulates the neurons in the brain has a effect on how the body interacts with its more subtle forms. And this is my personal interpretation. Of course, if you go look up Dr. Upledger's work, you're going to find a different interpretation. But the touch is very light. I tune into different listening stations around the body to feel the flow of cerebral spinal fluid through the body. And then I just really hold space for the naturalization for it to balance out. And while that goes on, the client can report anything from just deep relaxation where they're skirting the edge of consciousness to magical lights playing behind their eye sockets and mm-hmm. healing deep emotional wounds. And, you know, I use it to treat all sorts of things from twitches behind the eye to daddy issues and mommy issues, as if there are any other kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. So So when you were like talking about the shoulders, mm-hmm. and like when you're like, you know, in a state of, I guess, like terror, I guess, a lot, you know,
uh-huh. fight or flight.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So I guess like, do different parts of the body hold different like types of terror?
100%.
Okay. Could you, okay, what would be like, so like, well, no, my pinky wouldn't work because I smashed it. So like, we know what that tear is.
Like, it's more, like, hit my pinky. It's a little more direct.
okay, but yeah. So say like, my shoulder and my wrist, but only on like my left side, have been like really like tense and tight.
Mm-hmm.
What would that be without giving too much of my personal information?
Well, that would be it. Like, I'd have to know a little bit more, but generally, if it's on the left side, it could be something as simple as if you're a side sleeper, you mm-hmm. probably crane your neck a little too much and then hold this arm. For the listeners, I'm holding my arm up where my mm-hmm. elbow is above my shoulder, which closes off the traps and the, the medial scalene, which closes off the brachial plexus, which is the nerve plexus that leads down the arm and can cause weakness, numbness, tingling, sleepy feelings in the arms.
Are you a side sleeper, Topher?
I am.
You just, okay. Wow. Okay. Look at that.
So that's just
I have
one
to
thing.
Remember because, like, I mean, because, like, I feel like everybody knows this. When you're, like, really tired, you just fall out. And where your body lands is where it lands.
Sure.
But, yeah, that can happen, too. So when Topher was talking at the beginning of the show about massaging his pinky mm-hmm. and not doing anything else, why would that make it feel better and improve his range of motion?
Oh, well, that's the first thing that massage does, is it makes stuff feel better. If you do anything, if you hurt yourself anywhere in any way, your first instinct is to touch it,
mm-hmm.
right?
That's true,
is
right?
To rub it. The physiological effects are pretty simple. New blood comes to the area when you rub it. That brings fresh nutrients and causes the toxicity load in the cell to leave the area. So that's your first clue. The second one is that new nutrient brings to the cell new healing capability. So any damage that he did, how did you hurt your finger?
So I was opening a door and like it just like in my hand was caught between the door and the wall.
Okay, so contusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So blunt force trauma.
Oh my goodness.
I know. Who hasn't shut their hand in a door? It hurts so bad.
It's so painful.
It hurts so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And so you start rubbing the muscle, and that causes new fresh fluid to come in, and the cell starts to regenerate. And when that happens, when you first hurt yourself, the first thing that happens is contraction of the muscle that goes in to protect itself. So if you were mm-hmm. to continue to move your pinky, say when it was injured, you could cause further injury. So what we call that swelling,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
So when the swelling comes in, it brings with it all of the platelets and white blood cells and stuff that do the job of starting to repair the damaged mm-hmm. cells. And then after about 3 days, that leaves, and you've got the opportunity then to start to re-stretch the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I have a quick question.
Sure.
If I can interject. So when you were talking about the swelling brings in, like, you know, the things that will help heal it.
Mm-hmm.
So
one and immobilization.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that people say is, you know, oh, put ice on it to stop the swelling. Is it actually counterproductive to what
a
needs to
a little bit.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sometimes you have to let the body do its job, right?
Right. You kind of want to let the body do its job for about 24 to 72 hours.
Okay.
Before you start to, and again, this is like a rough estimate.
Sure.
If you've got, say, blunt force trauma to the anterior compartment of your leg,
mm-hmm.
that's a little different because there are like serious arteries and stuff in there that you don't want the blood to stop flowing.
Right.
But in your pinky, you might let it go ahead and do its thing before you interject anything. But then after 24 hours, you might put some ice on it to stop the throbbing. Again, it's all about that kind of treatment, thermal treatments,
mm-hmm.
dealing
mm-hmm.
with hot and cold, have to do with moving blood in and out of the cell.
Oh, okay. We'd like to invite people to call in at 781-832-2008. That's 781-832-2008. And I wondered if you had a patient success story that you could share with us.
I do. Would you like to hear on the physical or mental or emotional side? I have to admit that last week was all runny noses, low back pain, and existential crisis.
There's a lot of that going on. Like all of it.
What is the deal?
Between the news and the allergies, I don't know. Like, what is going on?
What is going on? It's like the low back is self-support, mm-hmm. right? And so the emotional component of low back pain is how do I support myself? There are other things like the hips. Hips have everything to do with how we change course on the path.
Oh, my right? goodness.
So if we've got tight
I've
hips.
I've had so much hip pain lately. I've been...
then we might be going in the unilateral direction for too long. Like we might need to learn how to see an obstacle and learn to go a different direction around it. Does that make sense? Those are those things. In my personal opinion, no real change happens in the body with tight hips. You have to loosen the hips up first before you can create good, mm-hmm. good lasting change in the body.
Yeah, nice. I've been getting some Bowen work treatment for that.
Work.
Yeah, and it has been improving quite a bit. I have personally not been to have a massage where I felt good afterwards. I think it has to do with some of the conditions that I have.
Sure.
So the craniosacral, the light touch, the Bowen work works for me. But, you know, everyone is different, and I know that there's great success with many people with therapeutic massage.
One of my favorite success stories was I was a young therapist many years ago, like 10 years ago, and this lady came to see me, and her ankle had 0% mobility.
Wow.
And when I asked her what had happened to her ankle, she had mentioned that 13 years prior to coming to see me, she had ankle surgery and had 3 bolts put into her ankle, and so it didn't move anymore. And so I asked her what she thought about when she thought about her ankle, and she said, oh, I don't think about it. And I said, okay, well, I want you to start thinking about your ankle, and when you think about it, I want you to thank it for all of the soccer balls it's kicked and all of the steps it's taken and all the good it's done for you, okay. right? Mm-hmm. And then we did a lot of breaking up of scar tissue, a lot of mobilization, active resistance techniques, deep tissue, structural integration, that kind of thing. It took about 3 treatments. I got her to about 80%.
Wow.
On the 4th treatment, she came in. She was about, I got her to about 90%. And she had a treatment scheduled for the next week. And she was like, I just want to thank you. My ankle feels so good. And now when I think about it, it's like, it's an automatic. Like, I just think about my ankle and say thank you, right?
Uh-huh.
And so...
how nice is that? Wow. And that was in nice. 4 treatments, did you say?
Yes.
Wow.
From 0% to 90. And then I didn't see her again for 2 years, right? That's... She didn't show up to her 6th appointment.
Uh-huh.
And I saw her 2 years later, and I was like, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. How's it going? And she goes, you know, I haven't thought about my ankle since you last worked on it until the other day. I was playing indoor soccer,
uh-huh.
and I was at a full dead sprint and turned 90 degrees on my injured ankle like there had never been an injury before.
Wow. That's amazing.
And so that's just a link of how the body responds to thought. You
right.
know, if you don't think about a part of your body, then it will go dead.
Right. If you don't think about it. Right. But it also is a good example of that mind-body connection.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And I think that we can't discount that. I think a lot of times people forget that the emotional part is just as important, you know?
Absolutely. It's actually the first part. You know, my grandfather actually started the Fayetteville Diagnostic Clinic.
Oh.
So I come from a long line of Western-style doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And when we would get into conversations about what was going on in the medical community today, what we agreed upon was that the lack of patient care, like treating the patient as a person, was what was wrong. And so... when he asked me what my angle was in healthcare, my approach is that the first thing you have to do is treat a person.
Right.
As a person.
Right.
A person who has mm-hmm. feelings and thoughts and a past and their own karmic load, right? And you have to treat their mind first. If my client comes in and they're like, you can't get this knot out of my shoulder, I'm like, you're not wrong.
Right, exactly. If you think it's not going to work, it's not going to work.
It's definitely not, so you got to get their mind on board first, right. You know.
I think we may have a caller. The call-in number is 781-832-2008.
Yes, callers, go ahead and call in now.
Call in now. Someone may have called just a
week ago. Yeah, a couple of calls, but... They will call back.
They will call back. We don't have much more time, so I'm going to repeat the number again. It's 781-832-2008, and you are listening to the Wendy Love Ed Show with Topher Kogan, live from the third floor of the Chancellor Hotel on 97.3 FM.
Here's a call.
We've got a caller.
To accept, press.
Hello, you're on the air with Wendy Love Edge and Topher Kogan.
Hey guys, how's it going?
I know that voice. Hey, Ari.
From way out in the East Coast, Worcester, Massachusetts.
Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. So this
is.
I just
got my wheels back on the road.
Nice.
And, you know, wants to do a shout out to the show, see how everything's going in the green zone.
Nice. Well, tonight we actually have a massage therapist with us, and you're a massage therapist.
I wish I was there.
I know. And we have Rochelle Bradshaw, who is a vocalist and reggae performer, and it's been a great show. So Will Hall was just talking about the mind-body connection. Do you have thoughts about that, Ari?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, here's the important thing, I guess, what I say about that. I don't know that we're made of energy. I think that was the most striking thing I learned from the Reiki class that I took, level 2 Reiki, is kind of seeing, like, how large your energy field actually is.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you realize, you know, the way that you direct that energy, and if you direct it in a way to heal yourself and kind of keep that in a real generating way, and especially if you have... you know, the means to look into self-healing and Reiki energy and different healing music. Yeah, it's definitely, it's real. You know, even vibrations can change water.
Sure.
Music being played to water. And if you bless water and food before you eat it and, you know what I'm
saying? Yeah, it's all connected. I know, and you're, so for those of you who don't know, this is Ari Band, Ari Charbonneau, and she's actually performed in our Take Back Your Health America concerts. All over the country. She came to Arkansas twice, and Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and I love you, Ari. Thanks so much for calling in and for your input.
Yeah, you guys have a great show, all right?
All right, thanks. Bye-bye. Do we have another caller?
Yes, we're calling back right now.
Oh, we are. Well, all right.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air with Wendy Love Edge and Topher Kogan.
Oh, well, great. I had a question for Rochelle Bradshaw.
All right.
Hi.
Go ahead with the question.
This is Rochelle.
Well, it sounds like, you know, music is obviously your passion. I just was wondering, as a musician, as a songwriter, what is your aim and purpose? What are you trying to accomplish through your passion for music? And, yeah, that's my question.
Well, what am I trying to accomplish? Good vibes, number one.
That's always important.
Yeah, like music is like the energy that flows through us. You know, it is an energy force also, and you put good things in it, then people will get the good that you're putting out, and they'll feel great. I'm not trying to preach or just, you know, come off self-righteous or whatever, but just good vibes, good energy, regardless of what the words you're saying. I guess that would be my, I'm trying to accomplish.
Yeah,
you know, with that.
Accomplish that. I've seen you. I've been to many of your shows here in town.
Uh-huh.
Really like you as an artist. Love your band, and it's great to hear you on the air. And hope to hear more of your music.
Wonderful. Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you.
Cool. Well, if we have any other callers, we do have time probably for one more call, and the number is 781-832-2008. That was lovely. You have a fan
That's
calling
nice
in.
Affirmation, yeah.
I mean, you know, people look to entertainers for a lot, and you know, as they say, to you know, whom a lot is given, a lot is expected. But also at the heart of music, it's still entertainment, you know. So we have to try not to be so harsh on the entertainers, you know.
Yeah, I think sometimes people look to you for for something else, but it is true. I think the theme of the show tonight is we've been talking a lot about energy.
Yeah,
you know.
Right. Well, that's what I think. Entertainment is connection.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially in a live show. I used to do theater a lot. Theater was my first love.
Really?
And,
nice.
Oh yeah. And what I loved about the theater is, you know, you'd be practicing your play for like 6 months or whatever, and before you go out on stage, you don't remember a single line.
Nothing.
Right?
Oh, I know.
And then you hear the cue, and you go out there, and the wave, the energy of the crowd, like, hits you, and it's different every performance, you know, but there's real connection there. And then the output that you give is a direct reflection and output of that. And I think that, you know, we live in the digital age, and so watching our TVs and stuff, maybe, you know, it's a little bit of connection. It's a type. We'll call it a type of energy exchange, right?
It is. But, you know, it's so hard today to get people out of their house into a venue sometimes.
Yes.
I mean, a lot of venues around the country have really been suffering. Mm-hmm. But you lose that. Sure, you can watch it on Facebook Live, or you can watch it on YouTube, you know. But it's not the same as that exchange. You know, you're giving something to the audience. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel the same if I watch it online.
Different.
And
totally
when that's why I love to go see live music, especially local bands.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the best part about being human, right?
Yeah.
And kind of the worst. I mean, depending on your crowd.
I mean, my favorite thing about performing, about being on stage, is that flow of energy.
Yeah.
You feel it, like, I cry, I'm tingly, I'll throw up. It's like it's all energy, and
absolutely,
it's awesome when you see the joy in someone's face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have little children that come to our shows, because I tour with Steve and Marley, one of Bob Marley's sons, and we have little kids, and they know every single word.
Wow. So, isn't that beautiful?
They're dedicated, like 5-6-year-olds, and you're like, how do you know this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that exchange of energy is joyful, and it fills me up, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And
it's humanizing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel the same thing when I have someone on my table, just getting, you know, I have like this wonderful swatch of life that comes through my door. You know, I have people at all ranges of health, from people on their way out to people that just came in.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to be there with people and experience just a little bit of their personal drama, you know. And by drama, I don't mean like drama.
No,
I mean
right.
The human drama, you know, like their story.
Their story.
That energy exchange is really, it's the best part about being human, I think.
I think so, too. You know, I have the opportunity to speak in lots of different places and tell my story. Mm-hmm. And I love watching the audience, how they feel so upset and appalled by what happened in my case, being overloaded with pharmaceuticals and being so sick and being told I would die, you know. And then I watch the energy rise up as they see what can happen when you change your lifestyle and think positively, and, you know, what is created from that. So I'm watching the audience, and I get so much from that. I can relate to what you're talking about when you're performing, you know, because it just lifts me up and drives me to want to share more, you mm-hmm. know, because someone in that group will walk away, even if it's just one person who makes a positive change and sees their life improve. It's all worth it, right?
It is.
You know, you know, whether it's walking through the door for a massage or energy work or music or speaking, you know, we all have something we can share. We all have a story.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think, Topher?
Yeah, I do. When you were talking about going on stage, like that moment right before, so anytime I have like some type of like show or anything, like it's like the, like it's like 5 minutes before are the worst 5 minutes
of my life. Right,
so bad.
It's so true.
Yeah, because like I feel like I'm gonna like pass out. terrible stuff. But it's like as soon as my like toe hits the stage, it's like, okay, we know what to do.
Yeah,
you know, and everybody's just like giving, you know.
Right.
So